Your hometown may be cool, but how many sexual practices are named after it? Hello, I'm Kenaz Filan. This is Ancient History in 15 Minutes, and this week we are going to be talking about Sodom. Now, I apologize. I did say last week we were going to be talking about Carthage. We had a breaking news story. The Skeptical Inquirer published a rather interesting piece about an ongoing dig at Tal al-Hamam that's in Jordan. The people digging there have set forth the claim that the ruins they were digging on Tal al-Hamam are, in fact, the ruins of the biblical city of Sodom. The people running the dig are evangelical Christians. Dr. Mark Boslow, who wrote the article for the Skeptical Inquirer, is a member of the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry. He's also had a long-running argument with the people running the Tal al-Hamam dig over the question of cosmic airbursts. So there's like a decade of bad blood between these people. I am neither an astrophysicist nor an evangelical Christian, so I'm at a disadvantage judging that, but what I do have a bit of knowledge about is mythology and the way myths are formed, and I'd like to contribute that to see what that brings to the table in the question of, is Tal al-Hamam Sodom? And to that end, the first thing I did was checked what I could find in the ancient records about Tal al-Hamam, and Tal al-Hamam was not identified with the city of Sodom, but it was identified as Abel Shittim. This was known in Jewish history as the last encampment of the Hebrews before they crossed the Jordan and entered into the Promised Land. The location of Sodom was traditionally placed well south of this, near the southern end of the Dead Sea, where you've got the Pillars of Salt that you see, like as Lot's wife famously becomes. You've got that bleak, salted soil. I'm finding it difficult to believe that the Hebrews were able to conflate these two locations and missed the fact altogether that the site where they entered the Promised Land also happened to be the site where centuries earlier God had struck down Sodom with fire from the skies. We would have to assume that the Hebrews preserved the memory of the earlier airstrike, but got the location wrong by a good 60, 70 miles, and missed the fact that they were going off to the Promised Land in the land where the destruction of Sodom had taken place. I'm very skeptical, knowing something about the myth-forming process, that just doesn't really work for me. I'll admit, this is inductive reasoning. It goes a lot on hunch and instinct. And I can see for somebody like Dr. Boslow, who's working in a field like astrophysics, where you have to have numbers, where you have to have all the data lined up. When you're dealing with history and archaeology, you've got a fragmentary data set. You have to put it back together, and a lot of times you got to fly by the seat of your pants. Sometimes you wind up with some brilliant hypotheses that turn out to be right, and sometimes you come up with some brilliant hypotheses that turn out to be screamingly wrong. So how is the Tal al-Hamam excavation project going in that department? Well, I gotta admit, when I first read Boslow's article, and when I scanned Boslow's Twitter feed where he explained what he felt was wrong with the TEHEP approach, I was inclined to dislike the guy. He's got a really smug attitude. His two great causes appear to be COVID vaccinations and climate change, and he beats relentlessly and loudly on them. He's got that snide kind of professional arrogance and bad social skills that you come to find not surprising in astrophysicists. But here's the lovely thing about science. It doesn't really matter whether I find Mark Boslow to be a pleasant person or an unpleasant person. What matters are the facts he brings to the table and the arguments he presents. I looked at the arguments he presented as to why he believed that Tal el-Haman was not a blast site. Based on his experience, I looked at what I could understand, and he did a very good job in his Twitter feed of breaking things down into bite-sized bits of information, and when I scanned through it, he and other people that were reading made convincing cases that Tal el-Haman is not, in fact, a blast site, and that some of the data, or much of the data, had been misread by the authors of the Tunguska paper. There does appear to be evidence of a burn layer, a destruction layer, at the Tal el-Haman dig around 1600 BC that suggests there were some pretty hot fires there. You would be hard-pressed to find a Bronze Age or an early Iron Age city that didn't have a destruction layer with fire. Raiding and sacking cities was basically the official sport of the Bronze Age. Cities got burned down all the time. They got burned down by marauders. They did not get burned down by asteroid strikes or by cosmic air bursts. The fact that the settlement on Tal el-Haman burned at one time, the evidence of the burns not in and of itself enough to say this was an air burst, because you can find burn layers all over the region from the time period. Let's just say, purely hypothetically, that there is evidence of an airstrike that took place over Tal el-Haman during the Bronze Age. That does not prove anything about the biblical Sodom. All that proves is that there was an airstrike over Tal el-Haman at some time during the Bronze Age. I don't think it would be unreasonable to suspect that this airstrike inspired the stories which were later written down as the stories of Sodom in the book of Genesis. But I don't see a lot of people saying, wow, you know, I was a staunch atheist. I used to flame Christians on social media all the time. Then when I found out that Sodom really got hit by a meteor, now I know that every word of the Bible is literally true. Nor do I see a lot of religious people saying, you know, I really believed in God, but now that I found out that he really didn't punish Sodom and Gomorrah by sending fire on them, it was just a meteor strike, well, now I don't think I believe in God anymore. That being said, while I have theological and philosophical differences with the evangelicals running the Tal el-Haman excavation project, I'm really glad to see excavation of sites getting funded, especially excavations in Jordan, which has just such a tremendous amount of archaeological treasures, but they don't really have the budget that their neighbor next door, the Israeli Antiquities Department, does. So they're not really getting as much stuff excavated. You're not getting as much stuff protected. If a story about Sodom brings people to Tal el-Haman and gets the money in to have real digs involved looking for that culture, then I really don't mind a little bit of hype. Archaeology's always been a rich man's game where you had independent funding for sometimes brilliant ideas and sometimes crackpot ideas. This has been especially true in biblical archaeology. While Dr. Boslow seems to have doubts about the honesty of the people involved in Telemann excavation, or at least certainly spends an awful lot of time impugning their honesty, I believe they are sincere. They really want to find Sodom. That does concern me because there's also a long history of archaeologists finding exactly what they were looking for, not out of malice, but out of selection bias, you know, out of the sheer need to believe. As they say in AA, take what you need and leave the rest behind. There's still a lot to be learned if we're going to be doing digs at Tal al-Hammam, a Belshittim that's also a site where, in Jewish history, the Midianite women supposedly seduced the Israelite men into worshiping Baal. And I'd like to look around that area. I'd like to look in the digs for any evidence we can find of Midianite gods, Midianite religion. We don't know that much about the Midianites and the Moabites. We know that Mount Peor was a cultural center for local gods there. They called it the Baal of Peor, Baal Peor. He becomes, in demonic texts, you know, a couple thousand years later, Balfagor. We know that the Canaanites, like many of the people there, tended to treat mountains as spiritual centers and centers of worship, and we have several of these names listed in the Torah, in the Old Testament, in old religious documents. I'd love to see people start digging around on those mountains. A dig on Mount Peor, I'm certain you'd find something there. That was a big Canaanite religious center. I don't think that Tal al-Hammam was the site of the biblical Sodom or of the city that inspired the stories of Sodom the way Wiliusa inspired the stories of Troy. I believe that there is a lot of archaeological material there that's just waiting to be excavated, and I welcome any attention to that area. If the attention has to be something that makes Dr. Boslow roll his eyes as a publicity stunt, if a publicity stunt leads to more digs, leads to more knowledge about ancient history, I can live with a publicity stunt. Honestly, I'm just happy the people digging it up are digging it up as an example against sin, rather than as a great place to put a nightclub. And on that note, this has been Ancient History in 15 Minutes, give or take a minute. This week we took a minute. I'm Kenaz Filan. Thanks again for listening, and next week in Carthage.